Blog Talk Radio.
Word, biblios, many books, taken through the ages, ageless, timeless, prophets, apostles, epistles, the gospel, the righteous, the hostile, the woeful, the wonderful.
On the Sabbath days or on Sundays, it's easy to find me. It's most likely up in your churches where I might be. It's millions over this earth who would tell you that they like me. But realistically, half of them take what I say lightly.
Yo, they just push me off the table like they don't need me. Look me in my face like they don't see me.
What?
Granny's off to church and she won't leave me. Then she comes home from church, but she won't read me.
My name, King James Version, born in 1611. I was made to teach brethren how to reach the kingdom of heaven. I might not be saying the same thing as your reverend, but what was broke, but it ain't the way it's been living.
You probably catch me at your grandma's house, opening Psalms. I was like your grandpa's spouse over in Arm. You catch me in a small jailhouse over in Guam. I speak about the hotel from nowhere to John.
Now travel through my pages, learn about the ancients. Life and death is in me, but some don't wanna hear me. Misuse me to conquer many lands. Many men have been slaves for who I am. The saints' blood on their hands.
Governments attempted to get rid of me and still trying. Society refused to listen to me and still dying. I give counsel to disciples on his field grind to remind them that the place they want to be is still
Yo,
dying.
Yo, I'm a bookshelf missionary. I could school the school book plus Dr. Seuss in the dictionary. What's written is power. I'm sitting in the parlor. I'm the only book closed, but I open at any hour.
It's always a nappy head kid with a gold tooth with his hand on my head saying he swear to tell the whole truth.
Yo, dude, they got me on a show called Dusty. Living godly is a must, but don't nobody trust me.
I teach about the old trails. Mortars the bomb. Seven plagues, seven seals. Soldiers the swarm. Rage in the field. Soldiers, storms. The Cummins, the horns. You've been warned.
A lot of preachers want me on their team just to make a profit, when all I want to do is give you words of the sacred prophets, so my creators can see believers making progress. I warn them of the dangers and loving material objects.
Open me up, pray to the God of all men, the God of Jacob, Isaac, the God of Abraham. May he open up his plan, why he came as a man. God 12 and spread his truth to every nation through the land.
Yo, we kicked that you was once sober, but you won't show my name, cause when your friends came, you keep turning my front over. What's this on my back? Use me as a cup coaster. Come closer, let me do my job like I'm supposed
Yo,
to.
Yo, there's 66 books in me, good and plenty. But up north, they rip out pages to puff sensey. But the saints study intensely, cause there's riches in me. But to the wicked, I ain't worth
And you can run around wildin', looking in the sky. Or you can read me, choose life or die. Who's right but I, man, a tooth for an eye. The water's broke loose, now the fire's gonna fry.
I'm the Bible,
I'm the Bible. I hold the keys to survival. I'm here to strengthen God's saints and the water's vital.
I'm the Bible, I'm the Bible.
I'm telling you, stop serving these idols. Ain't no other God, the Lord holding that title.
I'm the Bible,
I'm the Bible. Original holy scrolls, comfort lonely souls with the oracles of the moral code.
I'm the Bible, I'm the Bible.
I'm trying to save many men, but any who pretend his kingdom, they won't be getting there. I'm the number one selling book of all time. I done made billions, but if the people don't understand, I ain't happy. So come get with me, sit with me, and I'ma show you mysteries.
Hello, hello. Hello, hello, hello. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? If anybody's tuned in, shoot me a text, man. Let me know if y'all can hear me. Please, y'all. Look like we're having some technical difficulties this morning. Mashaba, can you hear me now? I just been talking and talking to for probably about 8 minutes, at least five, I say. I've been talking. Hold on, y'all. Man. Bear with me, y'all. I know somebody just called in from that 8463 number. If you can hear me, man, please shoot me a text to let me know you can hear me loud and clear at 314-482-9110, please. Okay, I don't know what was going on with that. My goodness, man. Waste a lot of hot air. I'm just blowing over here. Maybe I was tripping and had it on mute. I don't know. But welcome to the show, y'all. Baba Kwacha Wab, which means good morning in ancient Paleo Hebrew. I'm your host for this morning, your brother as always, Tarza Pa. Hope everybody's healthy. Hope everybody had a great weekend, a good Sabbath. I want to send shouts out to our brother school here in San Antonio, War and the crew. Also want to send shouts out to the brothers in VA, Kazaki and the crew, the brothers down at H-Town, Kwacha Zop. Shouts out to the brothers out in Albuquerque. Also a shout out to Kawakab down in Guatemala. And I want to send a special shout out this morning, y'all, to the brothers of the Marshara Yasha'ala, which means the government of Israel. And shout out to the brother Ariyah. Hooked up with him this weekend, saw him in Sabbath class. Good to see you, brother. Glad you're healthy. But he shared with me those brothers from Marshara Yasha'ala's wedding license, man. And I briefly scanned over, briefly looked over. It looks great, man. But the brothers really did a good job in putting it together. I'm glad they put it together because we are a civil society, and when you got to have a civil society, you need records of things of that nature concerning marriage and divorce. So I hope they got the divorce decree or the get, as well as the marriage certificate. And to quote my brother from H-Town, I'm going to steal this from you, Brother Kwacha Zop, they did a mucho tawab job in putting it together, man. So Let's get a round of applause for those brothers. Getting it together. Another round of applause for the Most High for giving them brothers the spirit to do so. All right, y'all. So, if you've been with me for the past, couple weeks, man, I've been going over the topic of, what did we start off with? Adultery, I think it was. I think we started off with adultery. Then we went into divorce, what the divorce was, where we found out that you had to have an actual bill of divorce, which was known as the get. And then we got into what fornication was. And then last week, we dealt with monogamy. So last week we dealt with the mistakes that we made in picking a mate because we're hasty and thirsty. And then we dug into monogamy. So this week I want to continue dealing with the topic of monogamy. Is it a biblical concept? We're going to examine the facts. So before we get started, let me get this. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, and it reads, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." Amen. This is the prayer we should be sending up every day, y'all, so we can get the hell up out of this place. It's getting more grotesque, more unbearable by the day, man. Yahweh Shai, who the world knows is Jesus Christ, please come quickly, man. Get us. This place is so horrible. Anyway, y'all, I'm not going to do the news once again. Sorry about that. I know some people like, you know, hearing the news, what have you. And I like doing it, y'all. News, current events, my soapbox. I need to entitle that segment of the class, Tazapod Soapbox. Also, y'all, I'm joined, and she, you know, she's finally handling her business. She has some stuff going on this morning. But I'm joined also this morning by my lovely wife, once again, Hasadai, in the building, y'all.
Sure.
So let's get Psalms chapter 118 and verse 24, please. And the reason I'm not going to do news, y'all, is because this is such an extensive class with so much information. I would be doing a disservice to do the news and then try to switch gears, because a lot of this information might get lost in our thought process. And there's nothing against anybody, man. It's just our attention spans these days are not that long, man. And I know I only have a small window to get this information into us so we can retain it and hopefully implement it in our lives. So let's get Psalms chapter 118 and verse 24, please.
Psalm 118:24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
So good or bad, happy or sad, y'all. The Most High brought you through it, he's going to bring you through it, man. Bring y'all better on the other side because of your ideal and what you went through, man. We have to have faith in that, and we can't get discouraged, man, when we fall upon hard times, man. It's to make us better. All right, so with that said, last week, let me see, where did we stop at? So let's do just a little small little recap here. Yeah, we got to get this for clarification purposes. So let's get Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10. And if y'all have any questions concerning the topic while we're getting into it, you can hit me up at area code 314-482-9110. Please let it be concerning the topic, though, all right?
Leviticus 20 and 10.
Yes, ma'am.
And the man that committed adultery.
The man that what?
Committed adultery.
So what is the subject matter here, y'all? It's adultery. So we're going to find out what adultery is according to the Bible. Read it again.
And the man that committed adultery with another man's wife, even he that committed adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress.
So how do you commit adultery as a man? You lay with another man's woman. That's adultery according to the Bible. It says, he that committed adultery, what up, read on.
Even he that committed adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer.
The adulterer, which is the man. Why is he an adulterer? Because he lay with another man's woman. That makes him adulterer. Read.
And the adulteress.
The woman. She's an adulteress. Why is she an adulteress? Because she laid down with a man that was not her husband. I want us to understand this. This is adultery according to the Bible. Let's get to Leviticus 18 and 20. Now, we read over these scriptures last week, but I have to do this to refresh our memories and so we can understand what adultery is, y'all. Okay? What's the rest of it say?
Shall surely be put to death.
Okay. Leviticus 18, 20.
Leviticus 18 and 20. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife.
Why not? Because according to Leviticus 20 and 10, which we just read, that is what?
Adultery.
It's adultery. Read.
To defile thyself with her.
That's adultery. Is that it?
Mm-hmm.
Let's get Deuteronomy 22 and 22.
Deuteronomy 22:22. If a man be found lying with a woman married to a husband.
Listen to this. If a man is found getting busy with a woman that is married to a husband. See, she got a man, read.
Then they shall both of them die.
They shall what?
Both of them die.
Now, this was the penalty for adultery. Both of them had to be put to death. Read.
Both the man that lay with the woman.
The man is guilty because that ain't his woman. Read.
And the woman.
And she's guilty because that ain't her man. That's not her husband. The way the Most High set it up, it was only supposed to be one rod in her, not several. And the way the Most High set it up, you got your woman, I got my woman, brother. I can't go and get with your woman because that ain't my woman. That's your woman. Remember, this all goes back to the law, which is love your neighbors, you love yourself. I'm not going to sleep with your woman because I don't want nobody to sleep with mine. I don't want to feel like that. I don't want to feel that betrayal. I don't want to feel like you a snake, a nigga. You went behind my back, got my woman. I don't want to go through those feelings. The scriptures tell us in Proverbs that you can give that man that had adultery committed against him no ransom. It said he won't accept the ransom, meaning there's nothing you can do to pacify his anger. It's going to be some damn furniture moving. It's going to be some crime of passion going on. This is what the Most High was trying to get us to understand. But this is adultery. Now let's get Romans chapter 7. Hold up, did you read the rest of that? Read it again from the top.
If a man be found lying with a woman married to a husband, then they shall both of them die, both the man that lay with the woman and the woman, so shalt thou put away evil from Israel.
And this is why the law was both of them got to go. The reason both of them got to go, because if they still walking around, you're going to be reminded of this every time you see them. Every time you're going to be reminded of them. And that refresher of your memory, that puts you back in that whole situation all over again. So they had to go. And remember, it says it was to put that away from Israel. So everybody else did get the idea that this was okay. The scriptures tells you in the New Testament, it says, those that have sinned rebuke before all so that others might be afraid. This is why they had to die. So other people wouldn't do the same thing they was doing, wouldn't follow their example. I hope everybody's understanding that this is adultery. This is what adultery is. Now, let's get Romans chapter 7 in the New Testament. Because people think, and I'm going to bring it out further in this class, that the Old Testament is separate from the New Testament, and they don't got nothing to do with each other. The Old Testament and the New Testament, y'all, is one and the same. They're one and the same. You have to get that church mentality out of your head. And if you're still going to church, you need to come up out the church because you get lied to consistently. All right, where we at?
Romans 7,
verse 1.
Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law.
So this is Paul speaking. And a lot of people like, Paul. All you New Testament folks, you only want to cling to the writings of Paul. And what's crazy, what be crazy about that, they act like the writings of Paul just supersede the doctrine of Christ, which shouldn't be further from the truth. Because Paul was, of course, a student, but disciple of Christ. So how could his doctrine supersede Christ? No, they were one and the same. Paul's writings are just very misunderstood. Where we at?
Romans 7 and 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law.
So who is he speaking to?
Them that know the law.
Now, we just read a whole bunch of laws on adultery, correct? Mm-hmm. So if Paul is speaking to people that know the law, that meant that he also what?
Law.
He knew the law. So he knew what adultery was. Is that safe to say? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Read it again.
Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth?
Read.
For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth.
So if her husband's alive, she's going to be with that man as long as he's alive, read.
But if the husband be dead.
But if the husband dies, read.
She is loosed from the law of the husband.
What law is she going to be loosed from, read?
So then, if while her husband liveth.
Now listen, this is what he's talking about. If her husband's alive, read.
She be married to another man.
And she marry another dude. She get with another dude because the biblical term for marriage is sexual intercourse, y'all. He went unto her. She became his wife. You see that phrase constantly all throughout the Bible, specifically in the Old Testament. You won't see it in the New, but it's in the Old Testament. But this is what constitutes marriage. Okay, I hope everybody understands this. So read that part again.
So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man.
If while her husband is alive, she get with another dude, read.
She shall be called an adulteress.
Because that is adultery. You see how this is consistent with what we just read in the Old Testament? It lets you know the book is one and the same. Old Testament, New Testament, doesn't change. Read.
But if her husband be dead.
But if he be dead, like he just said in verse 2, read.
She is free from that law so that she is no adulteress.
She is free from that law. Meaning if her husband be dead, she can go and get with another dude. Now, the other way she can get with another dude is she would have to have a divorce, the document known as a get. Then she could get with another dude, and she would not be called an adulteress. So if the husband's dead or she had a divorce, then she's no adulteress. Read.
Though she be married to another man.
Even if she be with another dude. All right? Now, let's get Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse 1. Just to echo what Paul is saying right here.
Deuteronomy 24 and 1. When a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he hath found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement.
A bill of divorce, which is also known as the get, read.
And give it in her hand. And send her out of his house.
So give her a copy of it, and now you can put her out. But remember, we already went over this. You just can't put her out. You had to give her the bill of divorcement, then kick her out, read.
And when she is departed out of his house,
mm-hmm.
she may go and be another man's wife.
Now she can go and be married to another man. And when she does that, she will not be called a what?
Adulteress.
An adulteress, because she did it the right way. She went through the proper procedures. Now let's get Mark chapter 10 and verse 11. Did we get Leviticus 10 and 20 and 10?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I ain't going to beat that dead horse. Mark 10 and 11.
Mark chapter 10, verse 11.
Now, I have to do this, y'all, before we get into the part dealing with monogamy and all that other good stuff. We have to really clarify. That's why I'm drilling it in y'all head so much, what adultery is. When you get to these scriptures, you won't be, like, scratching your head. Some of y'all probably will anyway, but we'll edify. Go ahead. 10 and what?
11.
Read.
And he saith unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another.
No, stop. Christ is saying, if you put away your woman, meaning you just put her away. You don't give her the bill of divorce. You put her away, and then you do what?
Marry another.
You marry another. Now, some people might say, matter of fact, read on.
Committed adultery against her.
Some people might say it's adultery if a man puts away his woman and get with another woman. Oh, that's adultery. It is adultery if he doesn't give her the proper document, which is the get, then he would be committing adultery against that woman because he's forcing her, who doesn't have that bill of divorce, who didn't do it the right way, but she want to be with another dude. She go get with him. Now she's committed adultery because legally she was not divorced. And that is, and it's the fault of the dude because he didn't give her the proper paperwork. So he's committing adultery in that point. But some people might read this and say, see, a man cannot have a woman and then get rid of that woman and then get another woman. That is adultery. No, that is not adultery. We just went over what adultery was. When it says, and marry another, meaning that this man married another woman that was in the same situation as the woman he just put away. Meaning what? She had a husband that kicked her out of his house, and he didn't give her paperwork that said she was divorced. And she went and she got with another dude, so now she became an adulterer. I'm sorry, an adulteress. I hope everybody is understanding this. This is not too complicated. Because remember what adultery is, y'all. It's a man laying with another man's woman that's on the man's part, or a woman getting busy with a man that's not her husband. That's adultery. So when he's talking about adultery here, that's the only way adultery could be committed right here. And without the paperwork, y'all, of the divorce. I hope we're understanding this. Now, this is very important because now we're going to get Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9. And this is going to break it down a step further.
Matthew chapter 19, verse 9. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication.
Now, when it says whosoever shall put away his wife, meaning to give her a bill of divorce, it could only be for what? For fornication. And we went over what fornication was, y'all. Fornication is adultery. That's one of the forms of fornication. Incest, bestiality. And then there's the spiritual fornication also, which we went over. So Christ is saying the only way you can divorce your woman is for fornication. Read.
And shall marry another.
And you marry another woman that's in the same situation. She's been put away. Read.
Committed adultery.
Now, when I say put away, she's been put away, but not divorced. There's a difference. So if you marry another woman that's been put away, not divorced, you are committing adultery. Read on.
And whoso marrieth her, which is put away.
And this is why he says this. Whoso marry her that is put away.
Does commit adultery.
Y'all understand this? Man, I hope y'all understand this. This is adultery. All right. Now, let's get the scripture that the church and church folks pull time and time again to try to say what adultery is, man. So let's get 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. And they try to use this scripture to say that a man having more than one woman is adultery, man. And that's not the case. It's not. We just went over what adultery is. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse, let's start at verse 1.
1 Corinthians 7 and 1. Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication.
To avoid what?
Fornication.
And what is fornication, y'all? One of the forms of fornication is adultery, incest, bestiality, homosexuality is also fornication. Left that one out. And then there's the spiritual fornication. So he said to avoid this, read.
Let every man have his own wife.
To avoid this fornication, let every man have his own wife. So what fornication was Paul talking about? He was talking about adultery. He was talking about homosexuality, bestiality. He was talking about all of the above. People like to say, read verse 2 again.
Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife.
Let every man have what?
His own wife.
People read this and say, see, it's their own. Y'all, people, let me put this in a delicate way. Less astute, educated people, the word own does not mean one. I'm going to repeat this again. The word own does not mean one. Paul didn't say to avoid fornication, let every man have one wife. He didn't say that. He said, let every man have what?
His own wife.
Now, this is the definition for own. Of, relating to, or belonging to oneself. Usually used after a possessive to emphasize the idea of ownership, interest, or relation conveyed by the possessive, the possessor. I hope everybody understands. Let me read this again. Definition for own: of, relating to, or belonging to oneself. So it belongs to you. Usually used after a possessive to emphasize the idea of ownership. So what was Paul saying? Get your own, something that belonged to you exclusively, not something that belonged to other people. Interest or relation conveyed by the possessor. I hope everybody's understanding this. Paul was saying, dude, if you're a guy, if you're a male, get your own woman. Get your own woman. Don't go get his woman. Don't go get that dude over there woman. Go get your own woman. So I'm going to deal with the male aspect of it first before I even touch the woman. So let's get Ecclesiasticus in the Apocrypha 36 and 24. Because remember, definition of own again is used as possession. Ownership.
Ecclesiasticus in the Apocrypha, chapter 36, verse 24.
Read.
He that getteth a wife beginneth a possession.
So Paul's saying, I'm sorry, not Paul. The Bible's saying, if you got a woman, then yo, that woman is what?
A possession.
She's your possession. But she's your most prized possession. She belongs to you. That's your woman. She don't belong to nobody else. I hope we're getting this. I hope we're understanding this. This is why even in today's society, and I have to use this example, but I want everybody to understand this. When a woman gets married, whose name is she taking on? The husband's name. Why is she taking on the husband's name? Something as simple as this we look over every day. Because that's showing the public that she belongs to him. That's his wife. That's why, what is the I forgot the term for it. The suffix, I guess it is. The suffix is Mrs. Mrs. who? Mrs. Robinson. Meaning what? Her husband's last name is what? Robinson. That's his woman. That belongs to him. Read this again.
Ecclesiasticus chapter 36, verse 24. He that getteth a wife beginneth a possession.
Read.
A help like unto himself.
He's even going back to quote Genesis 2:18. That's why the woman was created to be a help to her man. The woman, the wife, is her husband's possession. I know a lot of women don't want to hear that. A lot of men even. Oh, she just property. Yes, she is. But she's the husband's property or possession. Hell, no different than your kid. Ain't it your kid? Can't you tell your kid where to go and when to go and give them all that good stuff? Yes, you can, because it's your kid. How can we understand it as it relates to children? But as it relates to a husband and a wife, we don't get that. Because we've been Christianized, Americanized. No, everything's 50-50. No, you have a say-so, girl. You got to listen to hell. And this advice be coming from single women. They ain't got no man, can't keep no man, don't know what to do no man, but talking about she want a good man. But all she do is scare him off, because why? She don't want to submit to her husband, that he's the head, that he wears the pants in the family. Read on.
And a pillar of rest.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Read verse 2 again. So I dealt with the man and the woman being his possession, his own possession. That's what Paul is talking about here. And I can just hear Paul, you taking things out of context. And first of all, y'all, when you study the Bible, you study any book, and you run across words or phrases that you're unfamiliar with, what would be the best course of action? To get you a dictionary and look it up? Even if you got to go so far as the what's the name word? I can never get this word. Etymology?
Etymology
of the word. Even if you can go that, if you got to go that far, just so you get understanding. So read this again.
1 Corinthians 7 and 2. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife.
Get your own woman, dude. Not somebody else's, read.
And let every woman have her own husband.
Now, people might say, oh, now we got you there, talking about her own husband, not somebody else's husband. Let's dig into this, what he's talking about, own husband. Let's go to Colossians. Matter of fact, before we go to Colossians, read verse 1 again.
Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, to avoid fornication.
Now what are the forms of fornication? Adultery. Keep that in mind. He said to avoid fornication, read.
Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife.
Because if every man got his own wife instead of somebody else's wife, then you avoid what? Committing adultery, which is fornication. Read.
And let every woman have her own husband.
So if she's just with her husband and she ain't with nobody else's, I'm sorry, if she's just with her husband and not a dude that's not her husband, then she avoids what? Adultery. She avoids fornication. If she's with her own husband, not some other dude. Well, y'all getting that? To further edify, Colossians 3:18.
Colossians chapter 3, verse 18.
Now, Paul also wrote this book. This is one of his epistles or his letters. Read.
Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband.
What did Paul say?
Submit yourselves unto your own husband.
But ain't nobody questioning this scripture right here. But everybody want to go to 1 Corinthians where it says the word own. So somehow we understand he's talking about your own husband and not some other dude here in Colossians 3:18. But we don't get that in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2. Read it again.
Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband.
Not some other dude that ain't your husband. Listen to your husband. Don't be sneaking out the back door talking to Johnny or Ricky, Tyrone, Leroy, and he giving you advice. Oh, girl, you know what, baby? You deserve better than that. The way he treats you. You know what? You ain't got to be treated like that. You're a human being. You should have a say-so in the household. Oh, he told you not to do that? Oh, you know, if you was with me, you could do whatever you want to. You have your independence. I ain't going to treat you like that. I ain't going to treat you like a slave. You put no shackles on you, girl. You're a grown woman. This is what Paul was saying. Submit to your own husband, not that slick-talking nigga.
As it is fit in the Lord.
Because this is what the Lord ordained for you to be with your husband. Listen to your husband, not some other clown that's trying to get up in your pants and backdoor your husband. Titus 2:5. Now listen to this. This is what, because at the beginning of this chapter, he's giving advice, order to the men, but then he switches down to the women and tell them how they should carry themselves. You got it? So we're going to Titus chapter 2 and verse 5, y'all.
Titus 2 and 5. To be discreet.
Matter of fact, go to verse 4.
Titus 2 and 4. That they may teach the young women to be sober.
So it's talking about the aged women in verse 3. Teaching the young women in verse 4 to be sober, clear-minded, read.
To love their husbands.
Love your husband. So, yeah, you have to be taught how to love your man. Read.
To love their children.
How to love your children, even. Read.
To be discreet.
Read.
Chaste.
So it says to be discreet, meaning be careful about what you say, what you do. Chaste. Read.
Keepers at home.
Read.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Obedient to their own husband.
Obedient to what?
Their own husband.
No, some other nigga told you that you ain't got to listen to him.
Their own husband.
It says obedient to your own husband. Some other nigga told you, hey, you ain't got to serve him hand and foot. Some other nigga told you, girl, you can go out when you want to. You got to listen to him. It said obedient to your own husband. Read.
That the word of God be not blasphemed.
You got to be obedient to your own husband so you won't make the word of God a lie. Because to be obedient to some other nigga that ain't your husband, you're making God's law of none effect. You're making it a lie. That's what means to blaspheme. You're making the scriptures not true, not real. So we got Paul saying the same thing he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 throughout these other epistles. Now let's get what Peter said. 1 Peter 3 and 1. Let's see if Peter is consistent with what Paul said.
1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husband.
Be subject to your own husband. Now, we've read this several times, which is letting us know what type of problems were we having in Roman providences and even in Jerusalem, which became a Roman providence. What type of issues were we having? You had women that were not submitting to their own husband. They was hoes, y'all. I mean, I can't put it no, I can't be PG-13. It is what it is. This is why we keep reading it. If they keep emphasizing this, then what was going on? Obviously, it was a problem. Like I say time and time again, if there's a law that the Most High gave, that means we was doing it. So if these brothers keep talking about a woman submitting to their own husband, what was the problem? She was in somebody else's face other than her husband, some other nigga face. That was an issue. No different than 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 2. I hope we're understanding this. Read it again.
Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husband.
To your own husband, man. Not some other nigga that wasn't your husband. Now let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and we're going to read verse 2 again. Matter of fact, start at verse 1, and then we're going to need this book right here. Now, if you didn't tune in last week, I went over monogamy, and we're going to touch on it again, how monogamy is a social and political construct the Romans actually came up with, and the Roman Catholic Church adopted it and ran with it. And that's why you see monogamy woven in to the Bible and Bible concepts. But like I said, woven in, it don't belong. It never was there. That was something that was man-made. Monogamy is man-made. I've got oodles of proof. You have a harder time trying to disprove it. Anyway, where are we at?
1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife.
Start at verse 1.
1 Corinthians 7 and 1. Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me.
Now, who is Paul addressing? What book are we in?
Corinthians.
We're in the book of Corinthians, so he was writing this epistle to Corinthians, people that lived in Corinth, Israelites, mind you, that lived in Corinth. So he was talking to them. What does he say?
Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman.
Because remember, Paul was a eunuch. So he said, if you don't touch a woman, now you can be dedicated to the Most High, man, to the work. Read.
Nevertheless, to avoid fornication.
He said, but nevertheless, if you can't contain, you just got to have a woman to avoid this fornication. Read.
Let every man have his own wife.
Get your own woman, man, so it won't be no issues. Because remember, he said they wrote this to him, and we're going to get to that in a minute. But the point I want to bring out is Paul was writing to the Corinthians, all right? Read on, then. Read, finish the rest of the scripture.
And let every woman have her own husband.
A woman have her own husband, not some other dude. Your husband. Now, I want you to read this and tell them where you read from, the highlighted parts. And I pulled this book out before. I'm going to pull it out again.
From the Holman Bible Atlas.
Mm-hmm.
Underneath Corinth. Although the Romans destroyed the city in 146 B.C., Julius Caesar rebuilt Corinth as a Roman colony in 44 B.C.
So, once again, Corinth was owned by who? The Romans. It was a Roman colony. They colonized it. Read.
The city quickly regained its commercial importance. In 27 B.C., Augustus made Corinth the provincial capital of Achaia.
So, Augustus Caesar, still a Roman province or a Roman colony. Read.
Adding political prominence to the city's unquestioned commercial importance, Corinth attracted pilgrims every 2 years to the Isthmian Games, one of the four major Pan-Hellenic games.
So they had a lot of games going on in Corinth, and we know how the Romans get down with their games. Read.
The Isthmian Games honored Poseidon, god of the sea, and were held at nearby
who?
Poseidon.
Poseidon. A Greek god, the water god. This is idolatry. This is spiritual fornication. Read.
God of the sea, and were held at nearby Isthmia.
Mm-hmm.
These pilgrims added to the rich cosmopolitan population.
Rome. So, cosmopolitan means it was a big city, you know, like in New York, like in Atlanta, like in L.A. So Corinth was a big metropolitan. I want us to get this in our mind, y'all. So think of these cities when you think of Corinth. You think of New York. You think of an L.A. You think of Chicago. You think of big cities, St. Louis.
Romans, Greeks, and a sizable Jewish community.
The sizable what?
Jewish community.
Israelites were in Corinth. This is why Paul wrote to them. Read.
Of the great seaport city, like most ports, Corinth had a well-known reputation for immorality.
What did Corinth have a reputation for?
Immorality.
Immorality. They was doing things that were immoral. So you wonder why Paul is writing this letter to the Corinthians and giving them these instructions? Because that was the tone of the day in that place. People like to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and they like to read it like it's just a blanket statement for any and everything that's going on. No, that was very specific to what Paul was dealing with. That's why he gave them his counsel on this particular situation. This is what Paul was dealing with. So he had to come back and say something. Get your own woman. You, girl, woman, go get your husband. That ain't your husband. This is why he had to tell them that. Read on.
The colloquial expression to Corinthianize meant to engage in immoral behavior and loose living.
They even had a term for for being a Corinthian. What was it?
To Corinthianize.
To Corinthianize meant what?
To engage in immoral behavior and
to engage in immoral behavior and loose living. So it was popular to commit adultery. It was popular to be a homosexual. It was popular to have sex with animals. It was popular to just be lewd, loose living. Do what thy will. Aleister Crowley before Aleister Crowley. Read.
Paul warned his Corinthians. Paul warned his Corinthian converts against returning to the immorality and licentiousness.
This is what Paul was trying to get them to do, to stop being wild as hell, to stop being beastly. I hope everybody's understanding this. Read.
Out of which they came. Corinth spread out below the 1,886-foot-high Acrocorin that towered above the isthmus. 6 miles of walls enclosed.
Matter of fact, that's all I want from that. That's enough. Okay. I hope y'all are understanding that. Now let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and we're going to read verse 1 again and verse 2.
1 Corinthians 7 and 1. Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me.
Now, actually, we're going to read just verse 1. He said, concerning the things that y'all wrote to me about. So what the hell is Paul talking about? There had to be some type of conversation before we even get to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. What is he talking about? The stuff y'all wrote to me about. Let's get it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Come on, y'all. We got to read stuff in context. Our people really have a problem with this because for whatever reason, Black and Hispanic folks, Native American folks, have an issue with reading comprehension, man. I know we do. We do, man. Some of our kids struggle with that now. Reading comprehension. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1.
1 Corinthians 5 and 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you.
It was reported commonly. So what was Paul talking about when he said the things you wrote unto me? This is what he talked about right here. Man, this is reported commonly that there's what?
Fornication.
There's what? The same thing he just said in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, fornication. But now he's going to be specific about the particular fornication that was going on. Read.
Among you. And such fornication as is not so much as named amongst the Gentiles.
Meaning that Israelites was doing this. And the Greeks, the Romans, wasn't even doing this. Read.
That one should have his father's wife.
He said what?
That one should have his father's wife.
That in Corinth, you had Israelite men getting busy with their daddy's woman. I want us to see this. And mind you, it didn't say they was getting busy with their mamas. It said they was getting busy with their daddy's woman. That's important to remember. So why would Paul even be talking about this? Let's get 1 Corinthians. I'm sorry, not 1 Corinthians. Let's get 1 Chronicles. He said that this was commonly reported. Man, it was not uncommon. Man, I just had a thought. Because he did say mothers. He said their father's wives, right? It had me think about that term that we use a lot of times. MF. Oh, my goodness. 1 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 1. All right, here we go. First Chronicles 5 and 1, y'all. Read this.
First Chronicles chapter 5, verse 1. Now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel.
Because remember, Reuben was the firstborn, y'all. Read.
For he was the firstborn.
Mm-hmm.
But forasmuch as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given unto the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel, and the genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright.
Wait.
For Judah prevailed above his brethren, and of him came the chief ruler, but the birthright was Joseph.
So, Reuben, he forfeited his birthright. When it said he defiled his father's bed, Reuben slept with his father's concubine, y'all. I don't know if y'all knew that. He slept with his father's woman. That's why he lost his birthright, and that's why the birthright got handed down to Joseph's kids, Ephraim and Manasseh, because they got a bigger portion in Israel. They got the best land. You can read all throughout the scriptures. They did. But it's letting you know in verse 2, Judah was the head tribe. And this is one of the reasons Judah's the head tribe also, because Reuben forfeited all of that. I hope we understand this. But the point I want to get from this is that Reuben slept with his daddy's woman. I hope everybody's getting that. He slept with his daddy's woman. Now, he didn't sleep with his mama. He slept with his daddy's woman, his daddy's concubine. Is everybody getting this? Understand this? Well, you understand this? So let's get Leviticus 18 now. Please, y'all, text me. Let me know if I lost you. You having difficulty understanding anything? If I'm going too fast, hold on. I got some text messages coming in. Okay, these are old. All right, y'all. Leviticus 18 and verse 6.
Leviticus 18 and 6. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him.
Now, remember, we read this. This whole chapter deals with fornication. In fact, Leviticus 18, Leviticus 19, Leviticus 20 all deal with what fornication is. So he said, don't approach any that's kin to you. This is covering incest, who you can and who you can't sleep with.
To uncover their nakedness.
Mm-hmm.
I am the Lord. The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother.
So the nakedness of your daddy, you can't have sex with your daddy. You can't have sex with your mama. Read.
Shalt thou not uncover.
Read.
She is thy mother.
That's your mama. Read.
Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness.
Don't have sex with your mama. Read.
The nakedness of thy father's wife.
What?
The nakedness of thy father's wife.
Verse 7 covered the mama. Now the daddy got another woman. So verse 8 is covering that. Don't sleep with your daddy woman. Read.
Shalt thou not uncover.
Mm-hmm.
It is thy father's nakedness.
That's his woman, not yours. Like Paul said, get your own. I hope we're getting this. Now let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I'm sorry, not chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 5.
Mm-hmm.
1 Corinthians chapter 5.
1 Corinthians chapter 5.
Let me catch up with you. And verse 1, yep.
1 Corinthians 5 and 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you,
mm-hmm.
and such fornication as is not so much as named amongst the Gentiles,
mm-hmm.
that one should have his father's wife.
So you had Israelites that were sleeping with their daddy's woman. This is the fornication he was talking about. Read. I want everybody to bear with me because we're going to read this chapter. We're going to read 6, and then we're going to read 7. All in context. Read.
Verse 2. And ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he hath done this deed might be taken away from among you.
Paul said, man, and y'all puffed up about this. Y'all ain't even feeling sorry about this. Y'all don't feel no remorse. And y'all didn't put this nigga out. This is what he's saying. Verse 3.
For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already.
He said, I wasn't there, but I know the spirit y'all be rolling in. I made my judgment already. Read.
As though I were present concerning him that hath done this, that hath so done this deed.
I'm sorry. I said it was a bunch of Israelites. This was talking about one dude. Because said him, this dude that had done this. Read.
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh.
He's saying to put this dude out. This is what he said, to deliver such a one unto Satan. I mean, give him over to his own devices. Put this nigga out. Read.
That the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus.
That y'all will keep the spirit of Yahweh, the spirit of Christ in y'all congregation, but y'all got to put this fool out. Read on.
Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?
This particular incident can bring all y'all down, have all y'all in the wrong spirit. Read.
Purge out, therefore, the old leaven.
Like I said, he's saying, put this nigga out. Read.
That ye may be a new lump.
He's a bad influence on all of y'all. Y'all supposed to be coming new. We supposed to be doing different things. Remember what we read in that Bible Atlas? It said that Paul, matter of fact, get that point again. When we was reading about Corinth, when it says Paul.
Paul warned his Corinthian converts against returning to the immorality and licentiousness out of which they came.
This is what he's talking about right here in 1 Corinthians. Read that again, chapter 7. I'm sorry, verse 6. Chapters 5, verse 6.
1 Corinthians 5 and 6. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out, therefore, the old leaven.
The old leaven. Stop doing the stuff y'all used to do. Read.
That ye may be a new lump as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
He's saying Christ died for you, man. Read.
Therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness.
So whatever feast it was, whether it was the feast of the Sabbath, whether it was the feast of unleavened bread, the feast of Passover, whatever high holy day it was, he said, let's keep it with unleavened bread, not with malice. Read.
Therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness.
Change what you're doing. Stop being wicked as hell. Read.
But with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth.
Read.
I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators.
Well, he's talking about that dude, this nigga over here. What they said thought, right? So thought means that. Over here, so the nigga would be what, that nigga over here. Would be that. How would you say that? Anyway, go ahead.
Yet
verse
not,
9. Verse 9.
I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators.
Don't be with this dude. Y'all should have put him out. Read.
Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters.
So listen to what he's talking about. He says, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, meaning the world of Israel at the time, the people that he was dealing with, and the providence that they was in Rome. Remember, Corinth was a Roman colony, so there was a lot of this going on. He says, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, the Roman world, the Greek world. Read.
For then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator.
He's called a brother, but he's fornicating. Read.
Or covetous.
Or he wants what ain't his, another man's woman. Read.
Or an idolater.
Read.
Or a railer.
Read.
Or a drunkard.
Mm-hmm.
Or an extortioner. With such a one, no, not to eat.
Don't eat with this fool. Read.
For what have I to do to judge them also that are without?
He said, what am I going to do to judge these people that are without, that ain't even in a congregation? And then he's talking about he's talking about this dude. I'm going to prove it. Read on.
Do not ye judge them that are within?
Read.
But them that are without God judgeth.
Now listen to this.
Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person.
Put this nigga out and let the Most High deal with him. That's what he's talking about in verse 12. Don't the Most High judge? Let the Most High deal with this nigga. He's sleeping with other people's woman. He slept with his daddy woman? Put him out. Everybody's getting this. Let's read on, though. Chapter 6.
Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints?
Now, we're going to find out who the unjust is. Keep reading.
Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters?
He said, y'all can't even make a decision on this dude. Y'all can't even judge. I got to write y'all in a letter to tell y'all to put this dude out. Read on.
Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life?
Read.
If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church.
Y'all should have people set up to judge issues like this. Read.
I speak to your shame.
Y'all should be ashamed of yourselves. Read on.
Is it so that there is not a wise man amongst you?
Ain't nobody got no sense over there to know that this dude should have been put out?
No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren.
These are questions he's asking. Read.
But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers.
But so when he's talking about going to law, there any of you in verse 1, he's talking about the unbelievers, the people that didn't believe in Yahushua. The people that didn't believe in the law. The law of what? Of adultery, the law of fornication. He said, man, read that part again.
But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers.
Y'all going back and forth with unbelievers, and y'all think y'all going to get some sense out of it? No. Read.
Verse 7. Now, therefore, there is utterly a fault among you.
That's where you're wrong at, read.
Because ye go to law one with another.
Mm-hmm.
Why do ye not rather take wrong?
Why don't you just take wrong? So you have brothers trying to justify this dude's actions. This is why they had to go to law about it. Read.
Why do ye not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded?
Read on.
Nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?
Now listen to what he says. The unrighteous are not going to get to the kingdom. Read.
Be not deceived, neither fornicators nor idolaters.
Neither who?
Neither fornicators.
A fornicator, which means what? Adultery, incest, homosexuality, bestiality, spiritual fornication, all of those. He said fornicators are not going to make it to the kingdom. Now listen to what he says. Read.
Nor idolaters.
Idol worship, which is fornication. Read.
Nor adulterers.
Nor who?
Adulterers.
So what was Paul talking about?
Adulterers.
He was talking about adultery. This is what was going on in Corinth. Read.
Nor effeminate.
And effeminate, talking about homosexuality. Read.
Nor abusers of themselves with mankind.
And their poozy, talking about homosexuality. How you abuse yourself with mankind? By being a homo. These are all the things Paul was dealing with in Corinth. This is why he wrote these epistles, given his counsel on these particular topics. Read on.
Nor thieves, nor covetous.
Some thievery was going on. Some covetousness was going on. People were getting drunk. Read.
Nor drunkards, nor revelers,
mm-hmm.
nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God.
Corinth was a party city, y'all. We read that in the Bible Atlas. They was partying in Corinth, like a New York, like a L.A., like a Chicago, like a Atlanta, like a Dallas. They was kicking it. Hey, YOLO, you only live once. Do what you want. Do whatever makes you feel good. This is what was going on. Read.
Okay.
Verse 11.
And such were some of you.
And such were what?
Some of you.
Some of y'all was doing all this stuff he just mentioned in verse 9 through verse 10. Israelites was doing all of this. Remember, Paul was converting them from acting like damn heathens, ungodly people. Read.
But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me.
Paul said, all things are lawful unto me, read.
But all things are not expedient.
But all things might not be the proper thing to do. Read.
All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any.
Mm-hmm.
Meat for the belly,
mm-hmm.
and the belly for meat. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication.
What did Paul have to say?
Now the body is not for fornication.
What is Paul dealing with in Corinth?
Fornication.
This is why he keep emphasizing it. Read.
But the Lord and the Lord for the body.
Read on.
And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power.
Read.
Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ?
Your bodies. Read. Talking about your physical body. Read.
Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot?
The members of a who?
God forbid.
The members of a who?
A harlot.
A hoe. So what else was going on in Corinth? They was hoeing. Read.
God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body?
You see this? This is why he had to tell him, man, if you get with this hoe, then you're going to be joined to her and her hoism, and whatever she's susceptible to, you're going to be susceptible to. Should she come on with VD, you getting it. She got niggas coming up to the house looking for her, you're going to have to deal with that. Her name is being talked about all throughout the street, and the joke's on her, so the joke's on you. You're going to have to go through that. Read.
For two, saith he, shall be one flesh.
Read.
But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit.
But if you just join unto the Most High, you're in the spirit of the Lord. Read.
Flee fornication.
What did he say?
Flee fornication.
Flee adultery, homosexuality, bestiality, incest. Leave it alone. Read.
Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?
So what was Paul dealing with in Corinth? 1 Corinthians 7 and 1.
Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me.
Remember, when did they write this stuff? When did he get informed about it? Way back in chapter 5. Remember he said the things that are commonly reported unto him? Read.
It is good for a man not to touch a woman.
Mm-hmm. So he says it's good for you just to be a eunuch. Read.
Nevertheless.
Nevertheless, though, if you got to have a woman. Read.
To avoid fornication.
So to avoid adultery. To avoid homosexuality. To avoid bestiality. To avoid incest. In this particular point, he's talking about adultery in particular. To avoid that particular type of fornication, read.
Let every man have his own wife.
Get your own woman, dude. Read.
And let every woman have her own husband.
Get your own man and stay with him and stop hoeing around. Because we just read that the latter end of verse 6. It was some hoism going on. I'm hoping everybody's seeing this. Now let's go to the Catholic Encyclopedia. Page 375, please.
I'm going to be right back. All right, where we at?
Fornication, page 375 of the Catholic Biblical Encyclopedia.
In case we forgot, this is fornication. Read.
Illicit sexual intercourse.
No, it says illicit. Now, let's look up the definition for illicit. So it says illicit sexual intercourse. We're going to get the definition for illicit.
Illicit. Forbidden by law, rules, or custom.
Forbidden by law, rules, or custom. We just read the law in the laws in Leviticus chapter 18. And like I told y'all, Leviticus chapter 18, 19, and 20 goes over what fornication is. So this is what illicit means. What does it mean again?
Forbidden by law.
Means forbidding by law. Sex that's forbidding by law, by the law of the Most High. What else?
Rules or customs.
Rules or customs, all right? Now let's go back to the Catholic Encyclopedia.
Fornication. Illicit sexual intercourse.
Illicit or what?
Forbidden by law or illegal.
Intercourse. Read.
Concubinage. Prostitution.
Concubinage, prostitution. What else?
The vice of sexual immorality was quite common throughout the Near East and Egypt in ancient times.
It was quite common throughout the Near East and Egypt. Now, when we read in Leviticus chapter 18, when you read the beginning of that chapter, it says that the Egyptians was doing this. So this Catholic Encyclopedia is right in line with what we read in the Bible. Read on.
Religious prostitution, widely practiced at pagan shrines, was strictly forbidden by the Mosaic law.
Temple prostitutes they had in Corinth, and it was all throughout the Old Testament as well. Read on.
The Hebrews resorted to this perversion when they fell away from Yahweh and worshiped foreign deities as Baal and Astarte.
And we was doing this in Corinth. And you remember we read in the Bible Atlas about the worship of Poseidon in the Roman colony of Corinth. And they was also worshiping. You got something on that?
Mm-hmm.
Read that.
Corinth spread out below the 1886-foot-high Axel Corinth that towered above the isthmus. 6 miles of walls enclosed the city, numbering 100,000 to 200,000 in population. Walls connected Corinth with its western port, Cenchreae. Several structures top of the rocky Axel Corinth, including a small but famous temple to Aphrodite.
To who?
Aphrodite.
And we just read that in the Catholic Encyclopedia. Did it say Aphrodite or did it say
Astarte?
Astarte. Same guy, y'all. Same deity. This was going on in Corinth. So you had Israelites doing this. Read on.
Strabo's often cited reference to 1,000 prostitutes that served the goddess Aphrodite in Corinth is an exaggeration.
1,000 who?
Prostitutes
that served who?
The goddess Aphrodite in Corinth.
Aphrodite in Corinth. Read.
But the city's well-deserved reputation for sexual license did have religious overtones.
The city's sexual what?
The well-deserved reputation for sexual license.
Well-deserved reputation for sexual license. They did any and everything. This is what Paul was dealing with in Corinth, y'all. And that's why I went here, to show us this. Now, let's get Philippians chapter 3.
Philippians chapter 3.
And read verse 4.
Verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more.
Now, this is Paul speaking. Read.
Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel.
He said he was circumcised the eighth day.
Of the stock of Israel.
So he's from the man named Israel. Read.
Of the tribe of Benjamin.
And he even gives his tribe. Read.
A Hebrew of the Hebrews.
He said he's a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Read.
As touching the law.
As touching what?
As touching the law, a Pharisee.
He was a Pharisee. Now, if you're unfamiliar with the Pharisees knew the law, forward and backwards. So Paul knew the law. I want us to understand, this is very important for us to understand this.
Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law.
He said the law is what? Righteous. So Paul is not against the law. He said the law was righteous. He said touching the law, righteous.
Blameless.
He was blameless in the law. Now, since Paul knew the law, let's talk about which laws he knew. Deuteronomy chapter 21 and verse 15.
Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 15.
Read.
If a man have two wives.
If a man have what?
Two wives.
But.
One beloved and another hated.
Read.
And they have borne him children.
Read.
Both the beloved and the hated. And if the firstborn son be hers that was hated.
Now, did it say if a man have two wives, he has committed adultery? Did it say that?
No.
Now, remember, Paul said that the law was righteous, right? He said that he knew the law. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
He also said in Romans chapter 7, verse 1, he speaks to them that know the law. So is it safe to say Paul knew this particular law?
Mm-hmm.
About if a man had more than two wives? So is this adultery? No, it's not adultery, because it would say it. And Paul just said he know the law. Wouldn't Paul have said it was adultery? Read it again.
Deuteronomy 21 and 15. If a man have two wives, one beloved and another hated, and they have borne him children, both the beloved and the hated, and if the firstborn son be hers that was hated, then it shall be, when he maketh his sons to inherit that which he hath, that he may not make the son of the beloved firstborn before the son of the hated.
Now, this was just being fair. He got two wives, one he didn't like all that much, so he took it out on her son. No, you couldn't do that. But the point that's coming here is to show that a man could have more than one woman, more than one wife. And that was not, I repeat, was not and is not adultery. Are we understanding this? Give me Romans chapter 3 and verse 31.
Romans chapter 3 and verse 31. Do we then make void the law through faith?
Now, this is Paul once again. He'd be Paul. Paul also said this. He said, do we then make void the law through faith? Read.
God forbid.
He said, no. Read on.
Yea, we establish the law.
Paul said what?
We establish the law.
When he said we, was he including himself in that?
Yes.
So what law did Paul establish? The law of Deuteronomy chapter 21? Verse 15 through 17, which don't say nothing about no adultery with a man having more than one woman. Now, let me get this. Man, I'm running out of time. The one I want to get right here. This one. Now, the reason I'm reading all this, y'all, is because this is going right along what we read last week. Can you read this, please?
From field.co, F-E-E-L-D.co. Monogamy as policy.
So monogamy was a policy and still is, read.
Socially imposed monogamy was first established in ancient Greece and Rome.
Socially imposed. Monogamy was what?
Imposed. Monogamy was first established.
Established. It was something made up. Now, remember, Paul said that we establish the law. What law was Paul talking about? The law of the Most High, the law of God. But Rome had their own sets of laws. And it was what? Monogamy. Read on.
Was first established in ancient Greece and Rome. Even if sexual infidelity with concubines and slaves was largely tolerated. One of the plausible reasons, as explained by R.D. Alexander in The Biology of Moral Systems, was that monogamous groups were advantaged militarily over polygynous groups. Imposing monogamy meant that fewer men would leave a group to search for wives elsewhere and would be available to fight in battles and pay taxes. As Christianity emerged in the Roman Empire in the first centuries A.D.
As what emerged?
As Christianity emerged in the Roman Empire in the first centuries A.D.,
When it talks about, matter of fact, just keep reading.
It embraced monogamy and took it further.
It embraced what?
Monogamy.
Christianity did what?
Embraced monogamy.
It embraced monogamy. It had nothing to do with the Bible. It had nothing to do with the Most High. This was religion that embraced monogamy, y'all. Read.
And took it further, insisting that two people must reserve their bodies and desires for each other,
mm-hmm.
marriage becoming an everlasting threesome with God.
Mm-hmm.
It was Christianity that spread monogamy throughout the Western world.
Who spread monogamy?
Christianity.
Read. Not the Most High, not the Bible. Christianity, religion. Read.
Even as it struggled to fully justify its monolithic order on romance.
And was struggling with that. Read.
No biblical passages.
Now, this is the part I want to get to. Read.
Explicitly prohibited.
No, read that part again.
No biblical passages.
No biblical passages. Meaning no biblical scriptures. No scriptures. Read.
Explicitly prohibit multiple partners or, well, wives.
No biblical scriptures prohibit polygamy, for lack of a better term, or a man having more than one woman. None of them. Even the ones y'all be trying to pull. None of them. I'm going to keep proving it. Let's get 1 Corinthians 2 and 16. Now watch this. For you Pauline Christians. I was going to cite Paul. Paul said this. Where we at?
1 Corinthians 2, verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord?
No, this is Paul. He said what?
For who hath known the mind of the Lord?
Who's known the mind of the Most High? Read.
That he may instruct him.
Then he's going to tell the Most High what to do. Read.
But we have the mind of Christ.
We got the mind of who?
Christ.
Who do we have the mind of?
Christ.
Let's get the mind of Christ. Let's get how Christ thinks. Let's go to Matthew chapter 25, please. Get the mind of Christ, y'all. How does Christ think? Read.
Which verse?
Verse 1.
Matthew 25 and 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins.
Be likened unto who?
Unto 10 virgins.
Hold up. Wait a minute. Talk to Pa. You making this up. I was like, can you tell me where you read from?
Matthew chapter 25, verse 1.
Are these words in red?
Yes.
Who is this talking?
Christ.
This is the mind of Christ. Read.
Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins.
Is that Christ the same one that talked about adultery and all of that stuff? He's saying that a man can have 10 virgins? He said the kingdom is going to be likened unto a man or likened unto 10 virgins. Read.
Which took their lamps to meet the bridegroom.
Now, ask yourself this question. If a man having more than one woman is adultery, and y'all want to try to use those scriptures without having understanding that Christ pulled out about adultery to justify that your opinion or your doctrine that a man cannot have more than one woman, then why would Christ be using this analogy? Why would he be using this particular allegory? That would be him confusing the hell out of you, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be him being hypocritical? Why would he be using this analogy? Read it again.
Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom.
The bridegroom is the man, the groom. 10 women, one man. Read on.
And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish.
Mm-hmm.
That they were foolish, they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps.
Mm-hmm.
While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept.
Mm-hmm.
And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose.
They said, hey, our man is coming. We better get ready for our man. Read.
Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil.
And these foolish wives, read.
For our lamps are gone out.
Mm-hmm.
But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you.
Mm-mm.
But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves.
Read on.
And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage.
To the what?
To the marriage.
Wait a minute. Is Christ saying that this one man is marrying 5 women? Because 5 got veto, process of elimination. So is Christ saying that this man is marrying 5 women? But that's adultery. Your doctrine. What verse you in?
10.
You finish it?
And the door was shut.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's get St. John chapter 10 and verse 30.
St. John chapter 10, verse 30. I and my Father are one.
Is this Christ speaking?
Yes.
Christ said him and his Father are one. Meaning what? They agree. They ain't having no arguments about nothing. Now let's keep this in mind. Matter of fact, hold this scripture. 2 Samuel chapter 12.
And
start at verse 7.
And Nathan said to David, thou art the man.
So this is when David got busted with actual adultery. He took this man's wife, and he had the man killed. So he was guilty of murder and adultery. Him being with another man's woman, that's adultery. Read. And Bathsheba was guilty also because that wasn't her husband. And this is before David killed him. So she was off. She was an adulteress.
God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave thee my master's house and thy mm-hmm. master's.
He said, and I gave thy master's. Go ahead.
I gave thee thy master's house.
Say, I gave you Saul's house. Read.
And thy master's wife into thy bosom.
He gave what?
Thy master's wife.
Plural. Who gave him these women? Who gave David these women, y'all?
The Lord God of Israel.
The Most High. He gave him these women. Now, David just been convicted of adultery, correct?
Mm-hmm.
But what was the particulars of the adultery? He lay with another man's wife. Here the Most High is saying he gave David wives. So how could that be adultery? And remember, this is David. Read on.
And gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things.
He said, if I didn't give you enough, including wives, I would have gave you more if you wanted them. This is the Most High speaking. Now read St. John chapter 10, verse 30 again, please.
St. John 10 and verse 30. I and my Father are one.
This is Christ speaking. So if the Most High said he would have gave David more wives, if Christ was in that same predicament to judge David, Christ would have said the same thing. I would have gave you more wives too. But I thought Christ said that's adultery though. Come on, man. I got to read the Bible. Stop. Genesis 16. Genesis chapter 16 and verse 1. Shame on y'all, man.
Genesis 16 and 1.
Go ahead.
Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children,
mm-hmm.
and she had a handmaid,
mm-hmm.
an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarai said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing.
Mm-hmm.
I pray thee, go in unto my maid.
Do what?
Go in unto my maid.
See, because the father knew he was going to go to Abraham. Everybody go to Abraham. You damn right. Father of faith. Why wouldn't I? Y'all better read the Bible. Read.
It may be that I may obtain children by her.
Mm-hmm.
And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai.
And he listened to his woman. His woman suggested he get another woman. Read.
And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And he went in unto Hagar,
mm-hmm.
and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom.
What verse are you in?
Verse 5. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleases thee.
Mm-hmm.
And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face.
Mm-hmm.
And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur.
So she ran away, and the angel of the Most High found her. Read.
And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hand.
Wait a minute. The angel of the Lord said, you an adulteress, you should leave. Get the hell on. Is that what he said?
Mm-mm.
He said what?
Return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hand.
Go back to your mistress. Go back to your husband. Go back to your master. Go back to your man. And people will say, well, he did this because he was trying to prove a point, or he was trying to do this. Or some people might say, well, Sarah was wicked because she suggested this. This was not from the Most High, and God was mad at him or whatever. Because the Most High had a problem with Abraham right here. Why would he be telling the old girl to go back? Read on.
Return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hand. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude.
And then on top of that, I'm going to bless your son. But I thought this was a wedding or something that was ill or something that was off. If it was something that was off, then when the Most High had the kid to die, like he had David's kid with Bathsheba die, if this was off, if this was wrong, if the Most High had a problem with it, Ishmael would have died in the wilderness after that water and that bread was spent. Genesis 4:19. This is why people don't read the Old Testament too. I hope y'all know this. It's the reason people don't read the Old Testament is because this is the reason, one, the multiple wives thing, and the second reason being that Israel is God's people, and you read that explicitly all throughout the Old Testament, but it's all in the New Testament that Israel is God's people. People just get caught up in the terminology with the Gentiles or whatever. But like I said, those are the two reasons people don't read the Old Testament. Where we at?
Genesis 4 and 19. And Lamech took unto him two wives.
How many?
Two.
Read on.
The name of the one was Adah, and the name of the other Zillah.
Genesis 32 and 22.
Genesis chapter 32 and verse 22. And he rose up that night and took his two wives.
This is Jacob. Read.
And his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok.
So these two women servants were his concubines. All in all, Jacob had four women he was dealing with. He had kids by all of them. Now, this is our forefather, Jacob. I want us to keep that in mind. The father of the 12 tribes, he had 12 sons, and his 12 sons make up the nation of Israel. If we're going to say that Jacob was an adulterer, then what are you if you're an Israelite? If you're from the tribe of Judah, Benjamin, Levi, Gad, Naphtali, Asher, Issachar, then what are you, a degenerate? You a degenerate kid then? Huh? That's what you're saying. So what you're saying, it's good for our forefathers, but we can't do it. It was cool for our forefathers. Oh, God had a plan for them. What I'm trying to get us to see and establish that this was a part of our culture and our heritage. This is just the way we roll, man. 1 Samuel chapter 1. And read verse 1 and verse 2. Y'all got to stop trying to push our own doctrine, man. Stop it. And I'm going to say that I'm going on record. I am biased. If y'all know me for any X amount of years, yes, I have more than one woman I've been dealing with. I came into the truth in 05. I think I met Lobby I in 04. Met Arkai in 05. How's that? What year did we meet in?
Okay.
We met in 2010. So I've been living this lifestyle for quite some time. And the reason I'm bringing this up, y'all, is because people don't talk about how I've been stable for 15 years now. In this truth, how I've been stable. I ain't been homeless. I ain't been crazy, out of my damn mind or whatever, what have you, because this book has grounded me. This ain't my doing. I ain't taking no credit for that. This book has grounded me, man, and the truth is in this book. But instead of people looking at that, you know what all people see? Oh, he with them three girls. He with them three women. He wrong. I'm talking Jake. I'm talking Israel. I be getting looks from sisters in the camp. Sisters avoiding me. Sisters feeling some kind of way because I'm dealing with more than one woman. Been getting that. Used to it. Don't care. It's biblical. That's y'all problem. Y'all had a problem with the Bible. Y'all had a problem with the Most High. Who we at?
First Samuel.
Read.
Chapter 1.
Read on.
Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Dophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, and the son of Zeus and Ephathite.
This was Samuel's father. Read.
And he had two wives.
He had what?
Two wives.
You won't see this theme all throughout the Bible. Read.
The name of the one was Hannah.
Mm-hmm.
And the name of the other, Peninnah.
Mm-hmm.
And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had...
That's enough. He had two women. This is Samuel's father. Go to Judges 8 and 30.
Judges chapter 8. In verse 30.
Yes. Yes, indeed, because That's all I hear. He crazy. He with them three women. Them girls is stupid, et cetera, et cetera. That's all. But they don't mention, man, every time I call him, he give me some good advice. He give me some good counsel. He's got a scripture to back up everything he said. I don't get none of that. Anyway, where we at?
Judges chapter 8 and verse 30. And Gideon had 70 sons of his body begotten.
He said how many score?
He had 70.
So a score is 20. So he has 60, read.
And 10 sons.
As he has 70 sons, y'all. Read.
Of his body begotten. For he had many wives.
He had what?
Many wives.
Now, Gideon was one of the saviors of the Most High sent to save us. Renowned man. 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 43. I might go a little over, man. 1 Samuel 25, 43. Appreciate that greatly, because I really do. He's one of my family members that he actually appreciates what I have to offer, what I have to share.
First Samuel
chapter 25, verse 43.
First Samuel chapter 25 and verse 43. David also took Ahinoam of Jezreel, and they were also both of them his wives.
David with these wives. That's verse 43. So David had a lot of wives. First Chronicles chapter 17, verse 10.
First Chronicles chapter 17 and verse 10. And since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel.
This is the Most High speaking to David. Read.
Moreover, I will subdue all thine enemies.
Mm-hmm.
Furthermore, I tell thee that the Lord will build thee a house.
Mm-hmm.
And it shall come to pass when thy days be expired that thou must go to be with thy fathers.
David, when you die, read.
That I will raise up thy seed after thee.
Your son, Solomon, seed, a singular, read.
Which shall be of thy sons.
He's going to come out of your sons, though, read.
And I will establish his kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
He shall build me a house.
And he did, Solomon's temple, remember, read.
And I will establish his throne forever.
How long?
Forever.
Now he goes and dealing with Christ, because Christ came out of the lineage of David. Read.
I will be his father, and he shall be my son.
Mm-hmm.
And I will not take my mercy away from him,
mm-hmm.
as I took it from him that was before thee.
Psalm. What verse are you in?
That was 13, the conclusion 13.
Read on.
Verse 14, but I will settle him in mine house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forevermore.
Talking about Christ. Read.
According to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David.
Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. Now, the reason I'm reading all this about David is because our Savior, Yahawashi, the Son of God, came out of David's lineage. So you mean to tell me the Most High is going to let his son come from this adulterer, according to y'all doctrine, because he had more than one woman? Come on, man, stop. Matthew 1 and 1.
The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David.
The what?
Son of David.
He was the fleshly, biological son of David. He came from David's lineage. Christ did. David had many wives. I ain't even get Solomon because I already know what y'all going to say. When you see the Most High punishing all the women, no, you're not punishing for the women. He punished them because those women turned away his heart from following the Most High, and he started praising their gods. The son of David came from David's lineage, Acts 13, 22.
Acts chapter 13, verse 22. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king.
Yeah, this is Paul. Paul, yeah. The Paul y'all always reverence. Paul is given a brief history, a crash course history of Israelite history. So when Saul was removed, Then the Most High ushered in David. Read.
To whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart.
So he said, the heart's talking about the mind. The Most High is saying that David thinks like him. If the Most High was manifest in flesh on earth, then guess what? The Most High would have a bunch of women too, like David did. That's what he's saying. Read.
Which shall fulfill all my will.
Read on.
Of this man's seed hath God according to...
Of this man's seed, his lineage. Read.
Hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus.
Christ came out of this adulterer's lineage? According to your doctrine. Give me Psalms 40 and 7.
Psalm chapter 40 and verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book.
I come in the volume of the book. Read.
It is written of me.
It is written of me. That's what the word Bible means, volume of books. So this is Christ. He said, I'm in the volume of the book. Now, was he just talking about the Old Testament or the New Testament? And since Christ was in the volume of the book, didn't Christ see in the Old Testament all those men who had many wives and the Most High had no problem with it? Wouldn't he have seen that since he said he came in the volume? Absolutely. Hebrews 10 and 7.
Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book.
In the New Testament. Meaning what? He the same dude. He was the same dude in the Old Testament that didn't have a problem with a man having more than one woman. In the New Testament, same dude, he have a problem with a man having more than one woman. Hebrews 13 and 8.
Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday.
The same in the Old Testament. Read.
And today.
The same presently in the New Testament.
And forever.
And he going to be like this forever. So when God's kingdom comes on earth, guess what men going to have? More than one woman if they choose to. If they choose to. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. I'm not saying, and don't be getting this twisted, I ain't saying that a man has to have more than one woman. I ain't saying that. I ain't even saying it's a law he got to. But if he chooses to, then that's his prerogative. Nothing's wrong with it. According to the Bible. It ain't what I'm saying, it's the Bible.
Matthew 5 and 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill.
This is a basic scripture. How y'all missing this? Christ said he ain't come to destroy the law. What law? The law is dealing with a man having more than one woman. All the prophets, all the Old Testament that talks about a man dealing with more than one woman. He ain't come to destroy none of that. That was the 90-second mark, y'all, but I'm going to keep going. I got 60 seconds, but I'm going to go a little bit over. 1 John 5 and 7. If you can keep listening, keep listening.
1 John chapter 5 and verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven.
Three. Read.
The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost.
The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Read.
And these three are one.
What?
These three are one.
The Old Testament and the New Testament, the Most High and Christ, or what?
These three are one.
They're one. Ain't no separation between the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's all one book. It flows together. I hope everybody's seeing this. What verse is it? Read.
And there are three that bear witness in the earth.
Listen to this.
The Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one.
They all agree. They all are one. I hope everybody's getting that. As a matter of fact, I'm gonna stop there. I can stop there. I'm cool. So y'all, that concludes this segment of Blog Talk. Thanks for everybody tuning in. Hope everybody got some understanding out of the class. Hold on for a second. Hold on for a second, y'all. We not signing off. Give me a second.
I'm coming right back, and I'm gonna deal with that question. All right. Can you read that question, please?
Yeah. Okay. So
we still on, y'all. You still tuning in the blog talk. We're going a little bit over the time.
Okay.
I don't know how it's where I think maybe people that are listening on the computer gets cut off or on the phone. I don't know. I hope y'all still with me, though. Read the question, please. So we got a question coming in, y'all.
I can read the question. The question is, what's the reason for having multiple wives? And, like, would it be with clean, like, having someone to clean the house or to help financially? Would those be acceptable reasons?
So let me answer the first question. What's the reason for having multiple wives? As it pertains to the scriptures, there were various reasons. So you can read, go back and read about Abraham and Sarah. So Sarah was barren and she wanted a son. So that was her reason for offering her husband another woman. You can also go read 1 Samuel about Samuel's, I ain't gonna say that was a reason right there, because it really wasn't. So you can check out Abraham and his wife. That was the reason. But also keep in mind, it's a man's prerogative. It's a man's prerogative. If he chooses to have more than one woman, he can. But if he chooses not to, then that's fine. But it's his prerogative, and nothing was wrong with it. Now, you said that what's the second part of the question?
Like if having someone for the purpose of, or having another rib for the purpose of cleaning the house or contributing financially, if those would be reasons, like justifiable reasons, I guess.
Justifiable reason. Well, like I said, it's a man's prerogative if he chooses to do so. Now, to Corinthians, to answer her second question. So let's go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and read verse 12.
1 Corinthians 6 and 12.
Mm-hmm.
All things are lawful unto me.
Now, I'm going to use Paul's example right here. He said, all things are lawful unto me. So, yes, it's lawful for a man to have more than one woman. Nothing's wrong with it. It's his prerogative. Read.
But all things are not expedient.
But it might not be proper. And what I mean by that is this. A man shouldn't be taking a wife based off of financial reasons or whatever, to clean the house or to wash the kids. No, that shouldn't be the reason that you're taking this woman to be your woman. Now, you could do that. I ain't saying you couldn't. But I'm saying it wouldn't be a wise move. Let's get Tobit. And the reason I said, and I went over this last week in the class, man. So let's say that you get this woman for because you need some financial help in the house, right? So you already got a woman, but you want to add another woman because y'all money fun. So you get her. And Tobit chapter 8. So you get her, and she bringing in the dough, but she's horrible with y'all kids. She treats y'all kids bad. And I'm talking about the kids you got by the other wife. She's horrible with them, or she don't want to clean the house, or she don't want to cook, or she's just out of order. She ain't trying to hear the Bible. She ain't trying to listen to no scriptures you've given her. Hey, but she bringing that money in, though. She making that dough. Right? That's what you wanted, right? Christ said it better. Count the cost. So you could go marry this woman just so she can bring some money in, clean your house or whatever. But you might not like what you're going to get. Because some coming with that, picking her for that reason. Why don't you try this? Read this right here. Tobit chapter 8 and verse 6.
Tobit chapter 8 and verse 6. Thou madest Adam and gavest him Eve, his wife, for an helper.
For her, or what?
For an helper.
For a helper. Now hold this and get Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18.
Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. A helpmeet.
The word meet means proper. So we put the two words together, help and meet, proper help. A proper, if I'm trying to get a woman for financial reasons, I better check her out and make sure her mannerism is good, make sure she's good with my kids, make sure she's got, she believes in the Bible and she want to do the Bible. That would be proper. So that would make her a proper help. And she got the finances that I need. Oh, yeah, that's a winner. So make sure this the right help that you need for the job. Read it again.
Genesis 2 and 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone.
Mm-hmm.
I will make him a help meet for him.
A help that is proper for him, not everybody else. Not a help that's proper, not a help that's proper for the other wife. A help that's proper for him. She's going to help him with what he needs help with, a proper help. Let's go back to Tobit chapter 8 and verse 6.
Tobit 8 and 6. Thou madest Adam and gavest him Eve, his wife, for an helper, and say,
mm-hmm.
Of them came mankind.
Mm-hmm.
Thou hast said, it is not good that man should be alone. Let us make unto him an aid like unto himself.
An aid like unto himself, a proper help. Read.
Verse 7. And now, O Lord, I take not this, my sister, for lust.
For what?
For lust.
Don't do it for lust. I mean, you can. It's your prerogative. But you're going to pay for it. You're going to pay for it. If you just take this woman just to get your thing off, just because you want another one, and keep in mind, sir, all her problems are coming attached to the coochie. All her shortcomings and hang-ups, that comes with it. So guess what you're going to have to do? Teach, counsel, late nights, early morning. All that's coming with it. It's a job. It's more work. I want brothers to understand this, because I've had brothers hit me up in the past. I ain't going to put them out there. But most of the times brothers call me with that on counsel about taking another woman, I tell them no, depending on who the brother is. It depends on who the brother is. And I'm saying most of the time I tell them no, because brothers that are not well verse or brothers that I've seen in the past not make good decisions concerning certain things, I would advise them not, because they weren't spiritually mature to handle that situation. And I was trying to save those brothers heartache and pain. That's why I would give them. Now, there's some other brothers, I told, yeah, man, go ahead, brother. I say, hey, did you ask this brother, ask that brother? And then we would counsel, me and the other brother he counseled with, then me and him. And then, all right, brother, go ahead, do it. We're checking out to see where the brother's mind was at. But I ain't just going to tell you, just call me up, hey, talk to Puff. I think about, I ain't going to just tell you, yeah. Read verse 7 again.
Verse 7. And now, O Lord, I take not this, my sister, for lust, but uprightly. Therefore, mercifully ordain that we may become aged together.
Aged together, man. Listen, man, you can do the lust thing if you want to, but I'm telling you, you're going to pay for it. You're going to pay for it in the long run. So to answer your question, sis, a husband could do that if that's his prerogative, but he better choose wisely. He better choose wisely. And I tell brothers this, man, do what you already got. The wife you already have, do you value her? Do you value the relationship that y'all built together? If you value her in a relationship y'all built together, then you shouldn't be trying to bring no BS into y'all situation. Don't be just going off your lust trying to get this other woman, and now you bring this other woman in that just caused all this damn chaos, and now she mess up the harmony and unity you had with your first woman. You better make a wise decision. Count the cost. So, yes, sis, he can, if it's his prerogative, if you want to do that. But he would be using wisdom if he looked at more than her finances and her cleaning ability. Because you can get, like I say, you get somebody that's financially stable, but they hateful as hell, or they just don't believe in the Bible. I mean, it's a number of ways that could go if you're just basically. If that's your sole purpose, it could go really bad for you. You need to be checking off several boxes, not just one box, for financial stability or cleaning the house. Hell, order, get a maid. Get a maid if you need a house clean.
No headache.
Yeah, no headache. You ain't up counseling all the damn time, trying to put fires out left and right. If it's about finances, sit down with your wife. Maybe y'all can make some different type of moves that would create better financial stability. But if it is that finances or whatever, and that's what you're looking for, then check off other boxes. First of all, does she believe in the Bible? That's the first check mark. The second check mark. How is her temperament? How is her personality? Does she work well with others? It's like a job application. Real talk. Does she work well with others? Is she punctual? Can she follow instructions? So I hope I answered your question, sis. She say anything else?
What?
Cool. So with that, y'all, I hope everybody got some understanding out of the class. I'm going to decide if I'm going to finish with this topic. I had a whole bunch of other stuff. I may finish it, or I may just get into another topic, man. If y'all want me to finish it, just hit me up, man. Yes or no? Yeah or nay? I'll leave it in y'all hands, because honestly, I done enough. Everybody should understand by now, but if y'all still got more questions or y'all want me to finish, like I said, just hit me up and let me know. If you want me to finish it or not, I'm good either way. But thanks, everybody, tuning in. The Waterman Shop for hooking up the broadcast. Hope everybody got some edification and some understanding out of this class. And until next time, y'all, tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to please tune in to Taza Pa.
Tuesday.
Taza Pa.
Tuesday.
Taza Pa.
Tuesday.
Every
Tuesday.
The water, y'all. Shalom.
Shalom.